to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on, guys? It's Chris again with the NXT review. Do things just a little bit different. I typically don't get heated or mad or anything like that. I can be disappointed. I can be frustrated. Different things, but I'm heated about this Jordan Miles thing. Now, I've had it on my outline for the show for probably about 3 weeks now since this whole Jordan Miles thing started with the t-shirt. But after something I saw earlier today, we're talking probably 5-6 hours ago that I saw the thing about Jordan Miles, his little live Twitter feed. I figured I would talk about that. But before we get into that, my name is Chris. You can follow me on Twitter at VCO, place to go. And same thing at Twitch. And then also appreciate you guys watching wherever you're listening, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Radio.com, Apple Podcast. The name of the whole show is at the underscore WWE underscore podcast. WWE podcast, I was looking the other day on the wrestling category, and I think it was right around like 18 to 20. That is awesome. And that was on Apple. So it's just a shout out to everyone here who does a great job with the AEW show, Raw show, Week in Review, SmackDown show. The nostalgia shows are great. I know we got a live show coming. All that stuff's awesome. Also, doing the NXT review, I know Zach did the Dynamite pay-per-view, the Full Gear review. I'll be doing a War Games TakeOver review. So just throwing that out there now. So first thing I usually talk about this week in WWE, I'm going to knock out a couple things and I'm going to go on a rant about Jordan Miles. So first thing, the Lana Rusev Bobby Lashley angle that they're doing right now, for me, that's just too much. Like, that Rusev and Lana aren't getting divorced. You know that this stuff isn't happening. It's tough to have angles like this today in WWE because everyone knows that the stuff isn't real. Like, it's just not. It's all, storyline. Back in the day, I remember listening to Ricky the Dragon Steamboat talk and how he would go into 7-Eleven, let's say, or a convenience store, and Ric Flair would be in there, and they would have to have heat in there, even though they might have come in two cars driving together to the next town. They would have to have heat, like they would continue the show. So obviously it's not the same, but the storyline for me is too much. The whole pregnancy thing, not pregnancy thing, like Rusev getting beaten up. I mean, it's going to end up being, Rusev is going to win on this and somehow Lana's going to turn. Didn't they do this with Dolph Ziggler? If I remember, three, four years ago. For me, it's time to stop this angle. I'm over it. Hopefully it's a quick end and not a continuation of the feud once they have that match. Next on the NXT Invasion, the only thing I saw this week, I mean, obviously Shayna Baszler keeps showing up on SmackDown and Raw, to be honest, but Walter was on Raw this week. Seth Rollins called out, as if anybody is willing to come take the challenge with him, whatever. To me, Seth Rollins is relatively overused at this point. I think I said last week he's kind of got that Roman Reigns stigma now. Like, I'm tired of seeing him on TV. But he called out Walter. So Imperium came out. Walter came out. It happened because it was in England. Didn't do anything for me in general, seeing that. I love Walter. Love what Walter does. They ended up getting taken out by Seth Rollins, the Street Profits, and Kevin Owens at the end of it. The WWE guys stood tall. Does that lead to a Survivor Series match with Imperium? Maybe. It could. I was kind of having them angled at the beginning of War Games as having a big match, but it doesn't look like they're going to. Typically, the War Games only has like 4 to 5 matches at the most. 5 at the most, usually, for NXT pay-per-views. Right now, I know they got a guaranteed 3. I'm pretty sure they're going to have a guaranteed 4th coming up, so I'm not sure if they're going to have anything else. And then big, big, big on Tuesday night with WWE backstage, CM Punk came out. Now, obviously CM Punk works for Fox, but just seeing CM Punk's music hit, him come out, kind of cut a, 3 to 4 second promo, say I'll be there next week, you know, that's going to make people turn in next Tuesday. I'm going to possibly tune in. I'll definitely see the highlights, but, you know, CM Punk's going to be there. It's notable. You want to hear what he's going to say. You want to hear what's going to be said to him in general. Apparently Seth Rollins said something about calling him out, or he's going to, like, you know, meet up with him or something. To me, that's completely pointless, and I don't care about Seth Rollins doing that, so I really hope he does not. Okay, let me jump into a quick rant here, and hopefully this is what, you know, if no one takes anything else away from this show that I'm doing this week, this is what I want you to take away. So a few weeks ago, when this whole Jordan Miles thing came out, I'm like, listen, like, I get what he's trying to say, but he's just trying to me, become relevant. I don't think anyone cares about Jordan Miles. I saw ACH in the Indies. Yeah, he was good, but I don't think he was, you know, he's no Ricochet. He's no, you know, Matt Riddle, or, you know, I'm going to use, you know, Adam Cole and, you know, Young Bucks, guys like that in AEW, any of these guys in the Indies, he wasn't them. I don't think he was that spectacular. I mean, I think Trevor Lee is better than ACH was. Totally different styles. I mean, you know, Isaiah Scott, who, you know, obviously you guys know I absolutely love, because I can't do anything but talk good about him. But dude, Jordan Miles with that shirt. Now, I get what he's trying to say. I get with the image. And then WWE quickly came back after he had an issue, and he came out and said that they did this without my permission. It's blackface. They're racist. They're trying to hold us down, blah, blah, blah. Dude, are you kidding me? Like, are you serious? Like, what are we talking about here? Like, obviously, you know, his whole thing, WWE is a racist company, I'm not going to work for them. He then, you know, it's like the whole, the phrase, the pot calling the kettle black. He comes out with a phrase, the Uncle Tom, he called Jay Lethal. I personally called him out on Twitter about that. Obviously got no response, but I did get people respond to me about that comment. It was not him, but, you know, saying that Jay Lethal's an Uncle Tom, blah, blah, blah. That is not a positive phrase. So when I say the pot calling the kettle black, you know, I'm going to use an analogy. Something happened at work probably about a year and a half ago. There's a guy who said that. So I'm a restaurant manager. So there's a guy who came over to me, and he's like, dude, I was just discriminated against. I wanted to sit at this bigger table over by the window. But this guy, the host who sat him, he's like, this guy told me that I couldn't, I'm only one person. I was like, well, sir, we try to save the tables that are a little bit larger for larger parties. We don't sit any less than 50% of the available capacity of the table to a person. So if it's a four top, you can only sit two. Well, in this case, you know, he was sat at a two top, which seats one or two. So what we're doing here is, guy called me over for a discrimination thing. Now, I'm gonna preface this story with, the kid was probably a 20-year-old, maybe 21-year-old Dominican kid. So he comes over to me, he goes, I just want to talk to you. So I go over there and talk to him. And he's like, I just want to tell you I felt discriminated against because, you know, the story I just told you. And then he goes, that skinny Indian kid sat me over here. At that point, the dude's entire conversation loses value, because you're literally calling for discrimination while discriminating against. Mind-blowing to me. Absolutely mind-blowing. So this situation with Jordan Miles here, by calling for discrimination based on a shirt, and then discriminating against Jay Lethal, who is by far a superior performer on a, you know, career level, than ACH, then it just blows my mind. I don't care what Jordan Miles says after that. So he came out yesterday. So he kind of was quiet for about a week. He came out yesterday with a live Twitter video. Now, his Twitter is taken down unless he did it as something else, but Jordan Miles does not exist on Twitter anymore. I am not going to read you the I'm not going to read you the actual words, because, you know, I do try to stay on the cleaner side for the WWE podcast. If you've heard some of my shows I did before as Consummate Opinion, clearly you know that's not. I can do both angles here, but I'm just going to read you what he said with the one letter rather than the whole F word. There are a total of 8 in this rant. It was probably about a minute and 10 seconds, a minute and 5 seconds, something like that. But I'm going to read you what he said. He goes, "As of today, I'd like to officially announce that I quit effing WWE. I'm no longer employed. I refuse to work for racist. I effing quit. F them. I hate that effing company and everything they effing stand for. All they ever did was hold our effing people back. I do this shiz for culture. I don't need anyone's effing permission to do what I want to do. Screw Jordan Miles. Don't ever call me by that slave name. Call me ACH, and don't forget the super B. I quit. F you." What the hell was that? Like, honestly, what was that? I don't... Dude's 30 years old. Or 31, I guess. He was in the breakout tournament. He won the breakout tournament. They were clearly pushing him. I mean, he won the breakout tournament with guys like Isaiah Scott, Cameron Grimes, who was Trevor Lee, Keith Lee. What? Like, what is happening here? So, this guy, ACH is his nickname, Albert Christopher Hardy Jr., and he's going off on WWE. Now, here's what I want WWE to do, and I don't know how their developmental contracts go, but I clearly know how their main roster contracts go. They hold people. You want to do something to piss them off, you want to leave, they're just going to hold you. They basically make you not work, which is classic to me. To me, it sometimes can be a little too much, but I think with a guy like Jordan Miles, it's perfect. So let's say he has a year left in his, or year and a half left in his contract. I would make his ass sit at home. I would make it so he doesn't touch another ring. He can try to sue him, but that's defamation of character, what he's saying to them, because you can't clearly state that WWE is a racist company. Have they done things in the past? 100%. But as of right now, can you say what they did was clearly racist? I do not believe so. I'm going to get off Jordan Miles at this point. I'm just starting to get mad. He pissed me off with that whole Jay Lethal thing. I've met Jay Lethal. He's a great dude. That alone pissed me off, let alone what he just said now. You know, it's too much, and there's no place for it in wrestling. Guys like Booker T have been on him about it. I would like to see what Mark Henry had to say. You know, guys like Kofi Kingston, guys who are, as he wanted to call them, his people, and not necessarily being held back. I mean, this isn't the 80s, the 70s. You know, dude, it's 2019. Relax, man. I'm going to get in our birthdays here. First one here. We got three today. I'm going to go through them pretty quickly here. I'm going to go through everything relatively quick at this point with that little rant. I didn't plan on doing that to the extent I did. Until I saw this, I was actually going to wait until something else was said by him. But good old Jordan Miles came through again. First birthday today is Sunil Singh. He's 35. He's a former 24/7 champion. But honestly, who is not? He's half of the Singh brothers, who were former managers of Jinder Mahal. They are on 205 Live now. Well, I mean, part of the cruiserweight division in NXT. And they're also on the SmackDown and Raw with the 24/7 belts. His brother is the current 24/7 champion. Next one is going to be Sarah Del Rey. Now, Sarah Del Rey, all indies, never really was in WWE until she became a coach. She came there in 2012, good friends with Triple H. She's a current assistant head coach at the Performance Center and a big influence on NXT as a producer as well. I think she's been huge in a lot of the development of the women's wrestlers in NXT, as she has, I think it was like an 11-year career, but, you know, with Shimmer and you know, Evolve and different companies like that, it's been, you know, she's had a great career. Last one I'm going to do is Hiroshi Tanahashi. Now, Tanahashi is one of the most decorated New Japan stars today. He's had a record-breaking number of IWGP Heavyweight Championships. He actually beat Kenny Omega for that in the last Wrestle Kingdom January of this year, but that was Kenny Omega's last New Japan match. Tanahashi's great. You see his name, you throw in Kota Ibushi, Okada, you got guys like that, and you know you're in for good matches. Tanahashi's fantastic. He turns 43 today. I don't think I said Sarah Del Rey will be 39, a very young 39 to be out of the business already, but Tanahashi, 43 today, wish him the best. After seeing what they've done to Nakamura, Itami, oh, Kenta, whatever, I'm glad a lot of other guys, like Ibushi, never fully came to WWE. He was in the first Cruiserweight Classic, but I feel like, you know, it would have ruined him had he been in there 100%. Let's touch on last week's episode of NXT. Match-wise, you had Pete Dunne versus Damian Priest. It was a hard-fought match. They ended up tying the series 1-2-1. Killian Dane had the post-match beatdown of both, which is going to set up what I feel last week. I said it was going to be a War Games match, but you are going to have a match with them tonight with Pete Dunne and Killian Dane. Isaiah Swerve Scott faced Dominik Dijakovic. Now, I like both guys individually. I did not necessarily like this match when they worked together. Both got to hit a lot of their own moves. And like I said, both have great move sets, but together that did not work out very well. I know on tonight's NXT, you got Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Bronson Reed. Another big guy. Different type of big. Not the same type of big as Dijakovic. I mean, you go from Bronson Reed, who's like 6'4", 6'5". I think he was like 6'3", 6'4", where Dijakovic's 6'7". Now, yeah, there's a weight difference, but at that point, not a lot. Dijakovic's just that much bigger, and that doesn't work for Swerve Scott. So it was a great match, though. If you want to look at move sets, if you can pretend that the person they're doing it on is a different person. In the last one, you had the OC who came out, beat up the Undisputed Era at the beginning of the night. Then they came out and they wanted to challenge somebody. They asked if anyone had the balls to come out. Tommaso Ciampa shows up, followed by Keith Lee and Matt Riddle. That was a great match to me. AJ Styles, Keith Lee, Matt Riddle all looked awesome. I think Ciampa's still working pretty safe after returning from that neck surgery. I think he's going to end up being the Tommaso Ciampa of old, slowly throwing in little moves that used to be what he was known for, like the crazy moves and everything like that, but still working a little safe. Nothing against Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. They work well as a tag team. With Styles, it looks good. But if you have AJ Styles in a match, you're always going to have him be the hardworking guy, the guy who's going to be there, doing the moves, getting the majority of the work done. Gallows and Anderson are going to take a lot of the heat, a lot of the fight. But it was a good match between those three guys in general. Let's get on to tonight's show. Now, I'm going to start this a little bit different. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start with a promo. That promo is going to end up setting up a match that is not the first match. So it's going to be a little bit out of the actual timeline here. But the promo tonight, it had Finn Balor. Finn Balor came out ripping NXT, asking this is the bit, like, this is NXT, that this is the business. This is the business he loves. Basically putting it down, saying everybody's a jobber now. Now he ripped Mr. NXT, Johnny Gargano, for being injured from 3 weeks before when he had that Pele kick. Now it was a lot more than a Pele kick. I mean, he brutalized him after. I believe Gargano is potentially actually injured. It was a neck injury, if I'm not mistaken. Then all of a sudden, to set things up, he ripped Matt Riddle, who he did go after last week as well. Matt Riddle came out and took the fight to Finn Balor. Let me tell you, they were in the audience. They were on the outside, on the inside. Balor ended up being able to retreat. He got away from Matt Riddle's strikes. But we will see Finn Balor later in the night. That did set up some stuff later on, so that's why I wanted to bring that up now. So when we're talking about the matches, it's not like just, well, where did this come from? So the first match of the night was Angel Garza versus Lio Rush for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. This was another hot start to the show. Now, I kind of like what they are doing. You know, last week was Pete Dunne and Damian Priest was the main event of the October 16th show, and it was the number one match, the first match put on in the 11-6 show. So now you have a NXT Cruiserweight Championship as the beginning match here, which I believe that was the same spot with Tony Nese and Lio Rush a few weeks back when Lio Rush won the belt. I want to say it was like 3 weeks ago. It was like the 23rd, I believe, was that episode. Great matchup between these two. I could see this being a rivalry because I don't think that this was a one-off match. Like, I could see them moving in a different direction, but I think Angel Garza deserved the fact to get a rematch, and I'll explain the reason why. You know, Lio Rush and Angel Garza hit each other with, I mean, the kitchen sinks. Like, if you want to see, you know, it was a very indie match. If you want to see finishing move after finishing move after finishing move, this was the type of match for you, as is a lot of NXT. Like I said, it's very indie, which I don't mind. It's not that WWE where if I have a big punch, that's what's going to end you. Because if you look at a match like Damian Priest and Pete Dunne, there's probably like 17 punches in that match that would actually end, or elbow strikes that would actually end somebody's night in WWE. But you know, when it comes to NXT, it's not like that, and so I love it. The classic Angel Garza comedy spot in this match where he rips his pants off. He didn't do it in the ring. Didn't do it. He had Tony Nese powerbomb his pants last week. But what he did was Leo Rush had his family at ringside, so he walked over to ringside, jumped the barrier, stood there and ripped his pants off and actually threw it down in front of him. That was the Angel Garza comedy spot. Nice little disrespect there for Leo Rush's family. Well, you know, in the story, and you know, everyone talked about it before, but let's get to some of the best moves. I mean, the amount of near falls were fantastic in this match. Like I said, they threw the kitchen sinks at each other, and they were finishing move after finishing move. When I was watching this match, it had like, I don't know who's going to win feel, because the momentum kept shifting. It was never solely in one person's grasp, which is, to me, great. There were a couple moves that I fully thought that finished Leo Rush off. One was Garza hit a super moonsault power. Like, it was amazing. A moonsault power slam. It was unbelievable. How it was hit, I have absolutely no idea. He reversed the springboard stunner, also called a come up. He hit him with a dropkick to the back of the head and the neck that led to the wing clipper. Now, that move, when that was done, when he did the dropkick, so you have Leo Rush's momentum going backwards, he's flying backwards, and he's falling down, like, you know, obviously he's like heading down, so then the dropkick, which heads down the opposite way, it compressed Leo Rush's neck and back so much, like, I actually thought he looked hurt. That would hurt a normal person. You know, congrats to Leo Rush for not being hurt. Angel Garza tried a top rope wing clipper. It was a great attempt. And an insane move. It was fought off, which pretty much led to the ending. Leo Rush fought it off with a nice little headbutt there. Rush ended up hitting two frog splashes called the final hour. The last one was for the win. The thing is, he got the pin, but if you watch the pin, Angel Garza's his left leg was under the ropes. On the two count, his left leg grabbed the ropes. On the three count, Leo Rush had the leg above his head. I give this match a nice 3 out of 5, even a 3.5 out of 5 on this match, but I think with that kind of the ending that shows that, oh, this wasn't supposed to happen like this, I think it will lead to another match. I don't think it's going to be a War Games match. I think it could be maybe a Survivor Series pre-show or just a main event of a different, maybe the go-home episode next week of NXT. I don't think it gets a War Game spot, though. Next match was Xia Li versus Aaliyah. I'm going to be 100% honest. Every time I see Aaliyah, I say the same thing. I don't care about this match. It doesn't matter. I remember her from I don't even know the name of the episode on the WWE Network where it kind of chronicles them going... It might be Chronicles, actually. No, it's not Chronicles. Them going through... their process in NXT, one of the big spotlights that I remember fondly was Baron Corbin, but Aaliyah had one, and it was awful. I think she's terrible. I don't know how she's still there. This was my take-it-or-leave-it match for the night. I'm 100% leaving it. Supposedly, it was mentioned that this was for a spot in War Games. Clearly, neither one of these girls were going to be in War Games. If Aaliyah was in War Games, I wouldn't watch it. I wouldn't cover it. I would actually boycott War Games. Xia Li looked much stronger. Clearly, she's infinitely better. Her stripe game was on point. The connection that she has, I mean, maybe it's good chemistry with Aaliyah, but the connections that she has on her kicks are just unbelievable. I'm going to say one thing nice about Aaliyah. She had a nice little Northern Lights suplex for the pin with the pin up on the tiptoes. That was good. But Li hit a wicked roundhouse on Aaliyah. Where she immediately started bleeding. This match, like, is lucky to get a 1 out of 5, and the reason it's getting a 1 is because she made Aaliyah bleed. it was potentially a broken nose, who knows, but it was a real tough shot to the face at the end for the 1-2-3. The next match was Keith Lee versus Roderick Strong. Now, when I mentioned that promo before, this match was set up because of that. So you had, you know, the guys, the Keith Lees, the Matt Riddle, those guys out in the ring. Then you had, what do you call it? You had the Undisputed Era come out. Undisputed Era comes out and kind of surrounds the ring. They did not get in the ring, but it was more like, you know, talking crap. Keith Lee actually takes the mic, and I'm happy to listen to Keith Lee. His promo skills aren't fantastic, but he says what he has to say, and it doesn't sound cheesy. He just gets straight to the point. So you had Keith Lee come out and basically say he wanted to fight Adam Cole. He gave him props. You know, you took it to Daniel Bryan. You took it to Seth Rollins. You know, I'm going to give you props for that. That was awesome. Got a little pop. But then he's like, I want you tonight. Roderick Strong steps up. And when I say steps up, he actually stepped up on the bottom rope to be the same height as everybody else. And he said that, no, the champ's getting the night off. If you want to fight somebody, you can fight me. And so here we go with the match. Strong actually looked really good in this match. I know I was a little critical of him in the Dijakovic Keith Keith Lee match. It was the North American Triple Threat match. I was a little critical of him, and I'm going to be 100% honest with you. He did enough to win, but the match was more set up for Keith Lee, Dominic Dijakovic to kind of have a battle of the Titans. And that's what that was. So now in this match, he looked really good. When he could focus on one person and he has to be in the match, I do think he is a good wrestler. The amount of backbreakers he does, the ability to get a backbreaker from anyone on anyone is fantastic. He connected on Keith Lee with a ridiculous superplex. Seeing a guy, you know, if you look at him, he looked like he's like a third of the size of Keith Lee. And he got a two count on the superplex. But that shows you Keith Lee's athleticism as well for being, what, 320 pounds or whatever he is. He's a great worker. Keith Lee endured his fair share of punches, elbows, and strikes from Strong. Eventually, he started to kind of get the momentum. He had a huge lariat clothesline on Roderick Strong. At certain times in this match, Lee would almost laugh at Strong. He would shake his head, smile, and then just blast him. One of those times was that clothesline. The match never finished. Undisputed Era came down to the ring. Out came Matt Riddle and Tommaso Ciampa to attack. At this point, this is where Finn Balor makes his return. He comes out and beats up Matt Riddle, which I'm going to talk about that later. Lee gets the win. I believe there was a pinfall. That's what I think I saw. Keith Lee got the win, but then he was immediately pummeled by the Undisputed Era, and out comes Dominic Dijakovic. He came down and absolutely destroyed the Undisputed Era. Like, he hit a double choke slam. He hit his finisher on, I believe it was Kyle O'Reilly, and he gives a nice little stare down at the end from Ciampa, puts out his hand for the shake. He said he wanted to be part of War Games. And then he turns around, almost bumps into Keith Lee. They do the classic stare down. It's like Godzilla versus King Kong. And it was a nice little handshake there. It's going to be Dijakovic, Lee, and Ciampa. And of course, you got Matt Riddle's name in there. But I think after everything that happens, you're going to see Balor face Riddle, because I don't think that that Gargano's healthy enough. In this match, I gave it a 3 out of 5 just for the ending as well. Other than that, it was a good match. You know, I love seeing Keith Lee. All of his matches minimally get a 2 out of 5 for me, regardless, just for him being in the ring. So this was a good 3 out of 5. And then, you know, it could go up a little bit at the end, because I love the addition of Dijakovic. I thought that could be a possibility originally, but I did not see Matt Riddle not being in the match. Next match we have was Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Bronson Reed. So we're halfway through the show. There were 6 matches tonight. Isaiah Swerve Scott and Bronson Reed. Like I was saying in my last recap, or my recap from last week, we had Dijakovic and Scott. Weird styles together. Great styles separately, weird together. Now, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Isaiah Scott and Bronson Reed had a little more chemistry. And it was very, it was very nice to see Bronson Reed, because he impresses me every week, not to the point to where I ever want to see him like be a main event guy or anything like that, but he is a really good mid-card guy. I feel like the matches and some of the guys who are in the breakout tournament, and that's what pisses me off so much about Jordan Miles, is like, you know, they put a lot of time and effort in this dude, and he basically like threw it all away by acting the way he does. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you, the fact that they have these 2-hour shows really for guys like Swerve Scott and Bronson Reed and Cameron Grimes and Boa, and you know, these guys, it allows them to get on TV, because if it was a 1-hour show like it used to be, these guys aren't seeing the TV. If they are, maybe once a month. You know, some of these guys are on every week, and it's great to see them. It, you know, it gets them out there, it gets them noticed, and these are two guys that it does that. Now, Swerve Scott had another impressive showing. He does end up getting the win here. The reversal of the tombstone from the top rope to a DDT was fantastic. Now, Bronson Reed hits a tombstone pile driver from the top rope, I don't care who you are, but you're dead. Like, you're 100% dead. And for Swerve Scott to reverse that into a DDT was fantastic. I mean, Bronson Reed, he showcased his power. Like, there would be times where you thought Swerve Scott was cruising and he would just lay him out. His hangman driver looks pretty awesome. That's not the name for it, but that is what it is. The side angle shows that it looks a bit safer. When Bronson Reed hits that, like, you could assume that person's neck is broken. But the little side angle that they showed Scott get hit with was fantastic. And I mean, it takes teamwork, because if you don't duck your head, if Scott doesn't duck his head on that, he's going straight down and ends up being like the Suzuki Styles clash that when he ends up breaking his neck. Scott ends up taking control again with some really, really persistent kicks to Bronson Reed. The kicks just never stopped. He ends up picking up the win with the kick to the back of the head, the house call. Scott gets the win. I give it 2.5 out of 5. It was an average match, but with the guy's skill sets, I understand why there were some things that weren't done. But both guys, love seeing them on TV. Glad that we have a 2-hour show now, because if not, like, these guys would probably fall by the wayside. Next match was Pete Dunne and Killian Dane. I preface this as a match because it's going to get 0 out of 5 for me, because it was never a match. Pete Dunne's in the ring. He's waiting on Killian Dane. As Killian Dane starts coming down to the ring, Damian Priest takes him out. Damian Priest then called for Dunne. Like, you know, Killian Dane's laying down, you know, on the stage. And Damian Priest calls Pete Dunne. They come out to brawl. Obviously, Killian Dane comes back. Nice little 3-man brawl. Damian Priest ends up standing tall. Security comes out. He ends up hitting a nice crucifix powerbomb on security outside of the ring. He launched one of the guards onto the rest of them outside, including Killian Dane and Pete Dunne were out there for the help with the catch. They kind of get up fighting with each other on the outside still, and you've got Priest, who sees that, does his running middle rope flip to the outside that leaves him standing on his own. This is 100% going to be a War Games match. If it's not, they are missing out if they make this their main event next week. I think this is something that should be the last and final announced match on War Games. My personal opinion, hopefully that's what it is. But again, 0 out of 5 because it wasn't a match. But just seeing these guys do this, I mean, this is, I would take this 6 times before I watched another Aaliyah match. So that tells you something there. Final match was a main event ladder match. It was Mia Yim versus Io Shirai. Now, this was for the stipulation of the ladder match, was the winner of the briefcase gets the War Games advantage. So these girls used these ladders all night. Like, Mia Yim ended up being bloodied. It was not a terrible match. It was a lot of back and forth, no clear winners. There were some good spots in the match. Mia Yim had a great belly-to-belly suplex in the corner. It was kind of out of nowhere, to be 100% honest. Io Shirai hit a missile dropkick, and what I was saying with it, you know, Mia Yim got bloodied. The missile dropkick was into the ladder, which ended up hitting Mia Yim in the face as she was holding that, which bloodied her. The officials actually had to pause the match for a little bit. Like, you know, I understand not allowing blood to the level that it used to be in the Attitude Era. Like, you know, that was my favorite time of wrestling, but that's not in society today. That's not, you know, going to be allowed. And some of the reason they bled with the head chair shots, obviously not allowed with concussions and things like that. So they're being safer. I get it. But stopping a match, it was kind of like the Finn Balor Samoa Joe, like when that match was basically stopped for what, 5 minutes, because Joe kept bleeding. It ruins the momentum in a match, and it did a little bit in this. At the end, you had Dakota Kai kind of looking after Mia Yim. Dakota Kai ends up stopping Io Shirai, hitting a nice move off the ladder. She goes to pick up Mia Yim, throw her inside, and at that same second, Kaylee Ray, who was the women's UK champion, the NXT UK champion for women, Kaylee Ray comes out and takes out Dakota Kai on the outside, goes up, pushes Yim off the ladder, over the ropes, onto a ladder in the middle, very Edge, Jeff Hardy-ish on the outside. Mia Yim is completely taken out. That probably didn't help the fact that she was bloody before it continued after. That was the end of the match right there. Io Shirai climbs up and gets the War Games advantage for Team Baszler. So as for Team Baszler, Bianca Belair comes out. Io Shirai is already there. And you have Shayna Baszler coming to the outside. She's standing there. Kaylee Ray's in the ring. Clearly, Kaylee Ray is the fourth. So she's standing there clapping. And out of nowhere from behind, you got Bayley attacking with a chair. And then lays her out and drops her on her face onto the stage. But even better was on the rebelled. It was perfectly placed. This match is going to get a 3 out of 5, especially for the ending. I really do think that this 4-on-4 match will be good. What I'm wondering is what they're going to do for Survivor Series, because we're going to have a Women's Survivor Series match, and it's going to be 5 people from NXT. I could see Team Ripley winning, adding Dakota Kai, and having those 4 girls plus Dakota Kai go in, because I believe it's a 5-on-5, if I'm not mistaken. So that was the NXT show for the night. You got, match-wise, you got Angel Garza. Well, I'm going to tell you what stood out. Angel Garza and Lio Rush. I do hope this, because there wasn't a clear winner, I hope this feud does continue. It was a great back and forth, a lot of finishing moves. The Io Shirai Mia Yim match, I enjoyed that because it did relate to War Games, and we're going to have a men's ladder match next week that is going to relate to War Games. It's going to be Dijakovic and Adam Cole. Winner gets their team's advantage in that match. In the Io Shirai Mia Yim match, got a little blood. Also, Bayley came out and took out Shayna Baszler, sets up that match as well. Also tonight, Pete Dunne and Killian Dane, even though it wasn't a match, it showed Damian Priest standing tall in what I really do think is a perfect chance for a triple threat match at War Games. Like I said, next week we've got Adam Cole versus Dijakovic in a ladder match for the War Games advantage. Now, also Survivor Series that same weekend. I know we've just been talking about War Games, but Survivor Series is that weekend, and you've got a few times where NXT's in it. You got Shayna Baszler is facing Becky Lynch and Bayley. In the tag team champions, you got the Viking Raiders versus the New Day versus the Undisputed Era. Now there's a Team Raw versus Team Raw, Team SmackDown, Team NXT in the women's classic Survivor Series elimination match. Nobody's been announced for that. We're gonna lay low on that. And the men's version, same thing. No one's been announced. Team Raw and Team SmackDown are there, but no one for NXT. And then we've got AJ Styles versus Nakamura versus Roderick Strong. It's a triple threat match, champion versus champion versus champion, for all that kind of like secondary belts. All these matches I'm looking forward to. Survivor Series should be good. War Games obviously will be better. So let's see where we're at right now in War Games. So War Games, you got Baszler, Belair, Shirai, Kaylee Ray versus Ripley, Candice LeRae, Tegan Nox, and Mia Yim. Let's see where Dakota Kai falls in. I do kind of hope maybe she costs Baszler the opportunity for the win. If not, or if it does, that might set them up for that Team NXT women's match. Then you've got, in the men's, you got Tommaso Ciampa, Dijakovic, Keith Lee, and one other versus the Undisputed Era. Regal announced that earlier tonight. We don't know who that other one is. It definitely won't be Matt Riddle, because I believe he's going to be replacing Johnny Gargano versus Finn Balor due to Gargano's neck injury. And then what I think will be that fourth match will be Pete Dunne versus Killian Dane versus Damian Priest. I would love to see that on there. And you know what? Honestly, I wouldn't even mind seeing Angel Garza versus Lio Rush if they do get the spot on that show. That's going to be all for me today. please feel free to reach out to me at @thecoplacetogo on Twitter with any questions, comments, anything that you like, disliked, whatever. And if it's something we could talk about, I'd love to discuss it on next week's show. See you then.